Hello, I'm your host, Avery. I'm the founder and CEO of Bloom, an HR and DEI consulting firm, and a big believer that work should work for all of us. As always, I'm joined with Liz, Girl Boss's general manager, and Victoria, Girl Boss's senior writer, who both co-produced this podcast. Today, we're getting into all things health. And today we'll be talking about the benefits of using supplements. And we wanted to flag that this does not substitute for medical advice, treatment, or diagnosis. Please talk to your doctor or trusted medical professional to figure out which supplement options are best for you. So before we get into the episode, Victoria and Liz, I wanted to hear, what were your thoughts on our upcoming guest?
As a user of TikTok, which I know both of you are, there are so many misconceptions circulating the app about ways to like hack your health as a woman. Like your cortisol levels are either too high or too low, your sleep cycle, your period. So that's why what Rachel Sanders is doing is so great. So she's the CEO and founder of Routine, which is a line of targeted supplements and at-home lab tests that are rooted in science and customized to your unique daily routine. They have a few adaptogen drink mixes to help with sleep, focus, and stress, plus personalized multivitamins and in-depth tests for things like cortisol, minerals, vitamins, and DNA. Now, she's had over 10 years of experience at the intersection of health and technology, so she's disrupting the market as a woman founder in a male-dominated personalized health tech space. On top of being a founder, Rachel is a startup advisor, an angel investor, she's a new mom, and has been featured in Forbes, Entrepreneur, Thrive Global, Business Insider, and more, which is a pretty impressive CV. Now, I'll say for myself, it can be super overwhelming with all the ways you can track your health that I avoid it altogether and only start investigating when something is wrong. So I feel like that's not probably the best approach, but this conversation with Rachel was a really good reminder that avoidance is not the answer when it comes to your health.
Yeah, speaking of avoidance, I just got my first family doctor in over a decade. I live in Canada. There's a little bit of a family doctor shortage in certain parts of the country. So I'm obsessed with my new doctor. She's a woman. She kind of looks like Kate Middleton, and she even has a British accent. But more than that, I went to my first appointment yesterday, and we scheduled all these blood tests, and I had my blood pressure checked and all of this stuff. And I honestly left the office almost like skipping and smiling because I was so happy to finally be able to have all this access to like my health information. And I really felt like I'm getting my life together and I'm a grown up and I'm taking an active interest in my health, which is something that I really have, like you said, Victoria, been putting on the back burner and have been avoiding. It feels good. And I think there's a phrase I use, not pertaining to health, but more so pertaining to work and performance. What you measure, you improve. So how can you improve something if you don't have your baseline? This is something that I used to actually be more in opposition to. I used to think, what's the point of tracking all this stuff? It's over-optimization. It's solutionism. Why do I need to know how much sleep I'm getting or all these other metrics of health? But I've kind of changed my tune a bit, especially after this conversation with Rachel, because again, like you need that baseline. You need to know where you're at to be able to figure out where you want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I just went through a weight loss journey and I actually didn't intentionally track any sort of that data, but I did do a metabolic reset program and I did it because I had a fatty liver. And I'm speaking to this because tracking your health metrics is really useful, or at least having that data somewhere, because then when you do make changes, it's interesting to see how far you've come, even if you weren't intentionally trying to lose weight, for example, which wasn't really necessarily my goal. I was trying to cure a fatty liver, which is not a good thing to have. So one thing that happened when I went through this whole transition is like, I could actually look back at basically my metabolism and how it's improved over the last 2 years since making some of these small changes. And I can see it across every level of my personal daily health pulse, if you will. I'm sleeping better. I have less stress. I'm less anxious. I'm definitely less reactive to stressful environments or situations. And it's because of all this data that I collected, not intentionally, but just because I had to do it with this doctor that I met with and the naturopath. So I can understand why the digitization of trying to gamify your health and wellness and understanding like where you're at can be really helpful for folks. For me, having a family doctor my whole life, I've been really lucky. It's been the same person and they're the family doctor for every single person in my immediate family. It's interesting to actually be able to like talk to her about things that happened like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and reflect on like the first time I found out when I was diagnosed with endometriosis. Having that pulse is really important. I think that for some folks that don't have a family doctor or move around or travel a lot, or maybe have moved countries, when you have been tracking it by way of an app, that's a really important thing for you to have access to.
And in this episode, Rachel actually lists out some of the things that you should be tracking, because again, there's an endless list of things that can be super overwhelming. So if you don't know where to start, keep listening. Let's get into the episode.
Hello, Rachel. Welcome to Girl Boss Radio. I am so excited to have you here today. First and foremost, how are you doing?
Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing great today. How are you?
I am great. I'm here in sunny Dublin, and I understand that you're in Nashville, right?
Yes, exactly.
So I'm really excited to dive into this conversation because I am familiar with your brand and wanted to understand a little bit more about the story of you, what brought you to building this amazing product. Before we get into routine, could you tell me a little bit about yourself and your own personal health journey?
Of course. So I'm someone who grew up where holistic health was part of my DNA. It was our first line of defense growing up in a household where my mother 40 years ago had a naturopath, and that's just not something that a lot of people did. And so when I got a cold, it would always be, what are the homeopathic remedies? What are the supplements? What are the lifestyle changes that we can implement to help me feel better? And I really took that forward mostly through high school and then kind of dropped off in college. As some people do, go against what they did growing up and just explore a new lifestyle. Then fast forward to my early career. I was an investment banker, investment banking analyst, working a lot of hours, dealing with a lot of stress and burnout and fatigue. And I turned back to what I knew growing up and went into, what can I do from a sleep perspective? What can I do from a lifestyle perspective? And what supplements can I use to support how I'm feeling today? And what happened is I went back into that supplement aisle and there was just so many options. I was confused. And I feel like so many people experience this too. Like, what do you take? What do I need? What's actually going to work for my body? And at the same time, I was seeing all of this innovation and technology and data in the healthcare side of things, where you could just see these transformations in terms of outcomes. And I said to myself, why can't we apply this new innovation, this new technology to holistic health? Help people figure out what they need, when they need it, and if it's actually working for them in the supplement space. And that's really where routine came to be and how my health journey really transformed as well.
Yeah, and I understand that for you, you struggled with stress and fatigue while you were working as an investment banker. What was the turning point for you when you started to look for ways to optimize your own personal health and daily performance?
I was just sick of feeling not great. And I knew there was ways from growing up that I could support myself without turning to medication, turning to a lot of things that most people turn to. I wasn't going to just drink all the coffee and do all the late nights and do the anxiety medication. I wanted to figure out how to be more proactive, take control of my own health, and not have to go that medication route that I was going to be on for the next 10, 20 years.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that for folks listening, this is something that we can all identify with and relate to. This is something I relate to deeply as well. As a founder myself, I remember through 2020 to 2021, I feel like I just blacked out building the business out of fear and necessity. And I completely put my health to the side. And although I was performing at work, in every other area of my life, I was really struggling. And it wasn't until a year ago that I started prioritizing myself. I made some big strides in my personal performance and daily performance because I was actually prioritizing my own health and wellness. Going back to routine, what makes routine so revolutionary?
I'll share more about routine, but on what you had just said about how it's so important to prioritize your health, I actually just came back from a female founder retreat. It was 100 women between pre-seed and unicorn status. And the number one thing that came out of it is that when you're building, when you're ambitious, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And you just can't show up unless you take care of yourself. You have to think about the sleep. You have to think about the movement, what you're putting in your body, how you're supporting it. And you can't just rely on those quick fixes. And I think that it shows up so much, not just founders, but kind of everyone that's working, that's going deep into that. It's such an important lesson to learn. So I love that you said that. And then on the routine side, so we all want to be our healthiest, happiest, most energetic versions of ourselves. But it's hard when you're older, work is more involved, family is more demanding, and we don't really bounce back like we used to in our early 20s. And a lot of this creates a scenario where our natural biological clock, our circadian rhythm, is constantly being disrupted. And this leads to problems like stress and fatigue and mental clarity and focus issues, productivity issues, worse sleep. And so what we did at Routine is we created this smart supplement system that really helps women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s achieve their most vibrant health so they can be their happiest, healthiest, most energetic versions of themselves. And it's all powered by the science of circadian health and your own health data, both through wearables and lab testing. And so we offer supplements and at-home lab testing, and this allows each individual to really target what they need when they need it most.
Yeah, I think that's so important because, I mean, oftentimes we continuously see and get blanketed health advice and support when we know that health and wellness cannot be a one-size-fits-all solution because we are all unique and different and have our own challenges, problems that we're trying to solve for.
So our first product that we launched with is the Smart Multivitamin. It's based on your biological data. So we look at your genetics, your vitamin and nutrient levels, your lifestyle, and your hormones to really create this smart multivitamin that creates full daily health support. And so when I look at my own health journey, that's really where that starts. It's understanding the baseline health metrics. And when I look at my own health journey, it's really something where I look at my baseline health metrics, where it's the wearables, I'm looking at the lab testing, I'm getting what makes the most sense for me. And what I'm really excited about too is we've expanded beyond that daily health into categories that matter most to women and really matter to me as well, helping people with stress, with sleep, with focus, and getting products that actually work really quickly because I'm a mom, I'm a founder, I'm this busy human. I just don't have time to constantly figure out what I need and wait for it to work. Our new products, our adaptogen drink mixes, taste great and they work in like 20 minutes. Plus, I'm on this low, no alcohol journey too. And so they allow for these functional mocktails that I really love.
I love that you practice what you preach and you're actually using your own products because I think that a lot of these celebrity-led vitamin and health and wellness brands, they don't actually use their own products and they've been caught in like the media in so many different ways, shapes, and forms. What are your go-tos from your suite of products via routine?
The first product that I really ever did was the DNA test because you have to do that before you get the multi. And that's something I constantly go back to. It's something you do once, but you really learn a lot about your body. So something that I learned, a couple of things. So one, there's a gene called your GPX1 gene that protects your body against free radicals. Both of mine are mutated. And so I constantly need to make sure that I'm taking my multi as well as doing other things to protect my body other ways against free radicals. And I thought that was really fascinating. It's also something where I should continuously eat, take more antioxidants and eat more organic fruits and vegetables. And so it's just constantly on the top of my mind on my day-to-day journey, what's going on in my DNA and how I can support around it. Another test that I love is the cortisol test. So we all know that we're stressed. I'm a founder. Of course, I'm stressed. But I feel like it was so interesting because cortisol, it's a major hormone and it matters for so much more than just stress. It's mood, it's digestion, it's weight management, it's skin health. And so really getting deep and understanding that and then figuring out where my levels are and what are some things that I can do to improve it. Because my cortisol was out of balance. It's actually too low in the morning and too high at night, which is the opposite of how it should be. And one fun fact or thing that was really surprising to me is that when you work out and how you work out really matters for cortisol. So for example, I need to be working out in the middle of the afternoon and not at night. Because if you work out at night, your cortisol can spike even further. For someone with higher cortisol at night, working out at night is not a great idea. And the how you work out piece is I was doing a lot of high intensity cardio because it's really great for my mental health. It's actually terrible for your cortisol levels if they're out of balance. So more strength training, more walking is better from a stress management and cortisol management perspective for me specifically, which is fascinating. And then from a supplement perspective, I take my daily health multi and then these new drink mixes I absolutely love. I actually took stress last night and within like 20 minutes, you feel the sense of calm and it's all natural. There's no sugar and it just brings me back to balance. The sleep and the focus I love too, but the stress one is something I've been taking a lot right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's other things that I've done in the past to reduce stress that have led to overeating or not sleeping well or having a week of anxiety, which doesn't necessarily work for me. So I really like that. And this is something I definitely need to check out. Is there such thing as over-optimizing your health when it comes to the personalization of it?
I think the answer is yes. And when I answer this question, I like to give my own example because it's really personal. Because some people actually do need to be tracking a lot of things all the time, even if it might be considered over-optimizing for some. What I believe to be true is that everybody should have a baseline of what's going on in their health. And you can get that baseline through wearables. Things like sleep metrics, HRV, heart rate, these basic what's going on with your wearable metrics, and then also through lab testing. And I'm a huge proponent of really more comprehensive lab testing once or twice a year, maybe more, depending on what's going on in your own body. And that's things like nutrient levels, cortisol, hormones. These are a lot of analytes that aren't tested in your traditional physical or if you're going to your primary care doctor. A lot of these things aren't actually being tested. And the reason it's so important to have a baseline is because you just don't know what you need to improve unless you look at what's going on first. And you also don't know what you need to track or if what you're doing is actually working. So a lot of the wellness world, health and wellness, has historically been a guess and check methodology where you're like, hey, I'm stressed, I'm going to go try this thing. But you're not actually tracking, even from a journal perspective, how am I feeling today? How did this make me feel? What is that analysis over time? What are those trends over time? And now we have more data like sleep. You could actually take a sleep supplement, see what's going on with your deep sleep, with your REM sleep, and see if it's improving. That's another reason we're actually investing in clinical studies for our formulas, starting with sleep and doing it from a wearable metrics perspective to see how it actually impacts these metrics that so many people have access to now with the wearable data and the wearable devices that are available.
For me, one thing that I didn't even know about myself personally, and I really appreciate you sharing your own personal experience, because I think it's important for other folks to understand what might make sense for them through learning about other people's experience with tracking and trying to optimize their health, is I had actually done a metabolic reset program about a year and a half ago, and I learned so much about my body that I wasn't aware of around, like, yes, my cortisol levels are higher in the evenings and in the morning, and in the morning, they're really low. And I was actually working out and doubling up on my cortisol, which meant that everything that I was eating late at night was just sitting in my body. And this is the reason why I was having a hard time sleeping. I was just making my situation worse. And I think that when you better understand what works for you, you won't blindly take medical advice or advice from a fitness instructor, for example, who told me it doesn't matter when you work out as long as you do it. Well, in this case, it actually does matter for me when I work out because of what my cortisol levels look like in the evening. So I so appreciate that context.
I think it's something that's coming out so much more now because on one hand, we have the TikToks and the social medias of the world where people are getting much more, this is exactly how you have to do it because that's what works with the algorithm. And then on the other side of the spectrum, people have more access to health data. They can do the lab tests, they can get their wearables, and they know what's working in their body. So people are actually taking these trends that they see and testing them out with their own metrics. Does this make sense for me? And I love that because that goes back to this, okay, well, I'm going to take control of my own health. I'm going to figure out what works for me because what works for one person just simply doesn't work for others. Intermittent fasting is a trend. Keto is a trend like that. How and when and where you work out. Just like you said, that's another trend. It's really based on what are your goals, what's your own biology, and what fits within your life. That's another piece of it that we don't really talk about very much that creates this holistic, personalized approach to health versus just following the trends or the fads that exist in and around social or whatever your friend is doing.
What should people that are listening be tracking that they may not be tracking already?
Let's split this up into wearables and lab testing because they're two very different things. Wearables are a little bit more accessible than lab testing, but both of them you can look at. So the first on the wearable side is sleep. And a lot of people will just say, how many hours are you sleeping? But it's actually the quality of sleep that matters because if we're not getting high quality sleep, we're not getting the rest and recovery that our body really needs to wake up the next day and perform at work, perform on the field. And other sleep metrics that I track too are REM sleep. I do track total sleep. And I'm also looking at restfulness. I personally have sleep issues. I wake up in the middle of the night quite often. Actually, I have really good deep sleep and REM sleep, but I realize that my restlessness, so I just like move around a lot at night, is really bad. So when I'm testing and trying and doing all sorts of things during the day, that's the metric that I'm really trying to optimize because I know that's where my specific problem is. You can dial in a little bit more to track your sleep. What is the specific part of my sleep that's a concern, or am I actually sleeping really well and I don't need to worry about it? So I can ignore all of the advice that's happening on the internet. Another metric on the wearable side is HRV. HRV is heart rate variability, which is the beat-to-beat variability in your heart rhythm. A lot of people use it as a proxy for stress, but there's some more recent research that HRV can be connected to your longevity and your risk for future chronic disease. And the key here is everyone's HRV is different. So you really want to get a baseline of what your HRV is and then try to make it better over time. And better means higher. So what you want to see is a pattern of increase in HRV over a period of time. It's really hard to compare your today's HRV versus somebody else's today's HRV. It's really about a pattern and working to improve your own metrics. And then on the lab testing side, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, understanding nutrients, understanding hormone levels, and understanding your genetics. And on the hormone side, that is one thing that a lot of people, I think, get wrong because when we hear hormones, we think of a lot of times male and female sex hormones, so the testosterone, the estrogen, progesterone, other fertility hormones, but cortisol and insulin that impact everything else and all of your other hormones. So understanding your cortisol levels, we talked a lot about, but it helps you understand what's going on in your gut, what's going on in your skin, what's going on with weight, stress, mood, and then how can you actually change your habits, like you mentioned, you're not going to work out at night because you know that it just makes your cortisol problem worse. So how can you change your habits to make you healthier, make you feel better throughout the day, and make you more productive so that you can really get everything you want out of your day within your specific cortisol rhythm?
I think those are really great tips. And I really appreciate the context around the difference between data and testing, lab testing specifically. Can you do me a huge favor? If you haven't already, please download and rate this episode. It really does go a long way. Also, I love hearing from folks that listen to the pod. So send me a DM on Instagram at Avery Francis so I can hear more about what you thought about this episode and we can chat further. Let's get back into it. What's one health hot take that you've come across that's going viral on TikTok right now where there's a big misconception around it, or maybe it's not as valid as we hope or think it is?
This is a hot take that I have, but also something we see is melatonin isn't necessarily the answer for sleep. Melatonin has its uses, but we see so many people, and like literally every single sleep supplement I come across has melatonin. It can be habit forming for some people. It can make you crazy to sleep. For example, for me, if I take melatonin, it's almost like I took a hallucinogenic drug. I have not taken hallucinogenic drugs, just for clarity, but it makes me hallucinate. I wake up constantly throughout the night. I have the weirdest dreams, and it does the exact opposite of what it's supposed to. And that's an experience that a lot of people have. And it can also make people wake up drowsy, and it's just not everything it's cracked up to be, but it's constantly touted as a way to improve your sleep. And that's why from our sleep formulation, we actually created a sleep formula that helps you fall asleep, feel rested, and wake up refreshed without melatonin, because it's not the end all be all when it comes to sleep aids.
Lowering your cortisol levels seems to be the hot wellness topic at the moment on social media. What are your thoughts on this trend?
I think understanding your cortisol is key. We've talked about it a lot here. One interesting fact, and you even said it about your cortisol, is your cortisol can actually be too high or too low. So it's not always about lowering your cortisol, it's about balancing your cortisol. And the way to balance it is to understand that your cortisol should really have this natural curve. So it should be high in the morning and then gradually go down at night. And so when you're understanding, all right, what's going on with my cortisol, looking at it throughout the day is really important. So we have a 3-point test where you do the morning, afternoon, and evening to figure out what's going on in your body. And there are ways to support your cortisol throughout the day. So it's not just lowering it, because in the morning, my cortisol is too low. So I don't wake up super energized to go into the day. I'm kind of groggy. It takes me a second to wake up. I don't get into my deep work state until about 9 a.m., whereas people that do wake up with really high cortisol actually wake up refreshed and energized, and they can get into deep work a lot faster. So you might actually want to be making your cortisol higher in the morning. And there's also people that their cortisol is too high at night. So then that actually is when you really want to focus on lowering it. So this really thinking about, what are the daily habits? When should I be working out? Am I hydrating enough? Protein's a really important part of cortisol management. And then also, our drink mixes that we developed are really to support this natural curve throughout the day. So a lot of people also will have this natural energy dip in the afternoon when your cortisol starts to drop. It's that like 3 p.m. I don't want to do anything. My brain's not working. And that's where we developed our focus formula to really create more acetylcholine production in the brain to help support you through that. And then at night, we talked a little bit about melatonin, but cortisol should go down as our natural melatonin production should go up. And so that's when the sleep supplements are really helpful, and things like blue light blockers, avoiding your phone before bed, and really figuring out what are those sleep habits that work to create that natural melatonin production so you can fall asleep easily.
Being on your phone isn't just about the blue light and the fact that you're like staring at a screen before you go to bed. It's also because of the things that you might be witnessing and putting yourself in front of. So for example, like our news cycle and the fact that we're on this like 24 hours news cycle right now, I take in a lot of content that can be really triggering. So in the evening, I'm on the receiving end of this content that's spiking my cortisol levels because it's triggering or exciting or getting my brain moving, which I didn't know that those two things were linked. That was a big aha moment for me. What are some aha moments that you've come across with people when it comes to their cortisol levels?
It's a good question. That's something, what you just said is something I learned as well. So our phones are these like natural, massive disruptors of our natural biological clock, where even in the morning, a lot of people will just jump on their phone and then cortisol spikes like crazy. And then you have this weird rhythm throughout the rest of the day. And so a couple of things that I like to do that rewires my brain and allows myself to wake up a little bit more softly, I would say, is I recently started this gratitude practice where I wake up and the first thing I do when I open my eyes is think about three things that I'm grateful for that morning. And that automatically gets my brain into like, all right, today's going to be a good day, or like, here are some things that I'm happy about. And fun fact, that's actually like started to rewire my brain in a way where I'm on a walk outside and like thinking about things that I'm really happy about and I'm grateful for. And that's not always something in a high stress job. So I think that really helps me and it helps set myself up for success without triggering that crazy cortisol response right away. Because if you open your phone, you could get an email that makes you angry. You could see something on social that makes you sad. And like you said, you just can't control what that intake is. So trying to figure out how you can control it at the start of the day. And then the same thing at the end of the day. I recently started reading right before I go to sleep. And it's also something where I very rarely watch new television shows at night. Because that's another thing where I have no idea what that episode is going to give to me. I don't know if I'm going to go to bed and like be thinking about it. I don't know if something crazy is going to happen. Whereas if I'm just like watching reruns of Gilmore Girls or Sex and the City, I know what's going to happen. It's not going to surprise me. I'm not going to get all triggered. But it is a way for my brain to relax and reset without scrolling on social.
Yeah, absolutely. So we talked about this a lot already, but what about sleep? I think that we both know this is an important part of anyone's individual health journey. I know that you're a mom of two young kids, you're running your own business, and you're a venture partner. How do you deal with lack of sleep and low productivity periods? And when can you simply just not afford to stop?
It's a great question. I actually really prioritize sleep. That being said, there are definitely days where I don't sleep and you wake up and you have to be productive. There's a number of things that I do that I've learned throughout my founder/motherhood journey that really work for me. The first is I always start with a hydration pack. I'm loving Element right now. I put it in my 40-ounce water bottle and drink that, start my body with the hydration. I also try to get outside pretty early and start my day with a workout. I typically work out in the middle of the afternoon between like 2 to 3 p.m. when my natural circadian dip happens, because that's when my brain doesn't really work at the computer. But on the days that I don't sleep, giving myself that boost of energy early is really helpful to get my mind moving. I also have this low mental energy task list that is constantly running on my computer. So when there's days where I'm just like, I can't do this, I go to that task list and pick out 2, 3, 5 of those tasks to really build that momentum to get me into work, to say like, okay, I actually accomplished something. And that's almost the worst blocker, is just sitting down and actually starting. So having that list is really helpful. And then I try to shift any strategy work I have to do to another day. But if I do have to do bigger picture creative thinking, I get on my walking pad. I have a walking treadmill, because walking helps your brain just work a little bit better. And even when you're tired, even if you've slept like 2 hours, if I can walk, it will allow my brain to actually work and take that focus support.
I didn't know that. So walking makes your brain work better.
It allows you to have creativity. If you're ever having, for me too, if I'm ever trying to have like a hard conversation or like trying to think through a problem, I always go for a walk. I can always problem solve or like think through creative solutions just by walking. And so having that walking pad, especially when I don't sleep, is such a life hack for me.
And here I think we're trying to further double down on the impact of capitalism by making people fit in their workout while they're working. And you're telling me that this is actually a really great thing for our brains and helps us to like think more creatively, more consciously. I love that. And it's so funny because it makes sense. Whenever I'm having a really in-depth conversation with a friend, or even if I'm on a call with a colleague, what I find is I have this natural instinct to like get up and pace. So that might be my brain calling for that need to walk, to replenish.
Exactly. It also is an energy boost. If I spend the morning on my walking pad, I don't have the dip as much as I do if I'm just sitting all day. It's really great. Our new Focus product is another thing that I take for productivity. It's really helpful. And then I also really, really try not to nap, even if I have 2 hours of sleep the night before, because it's just going to mess my sleep schedule. So I try to go to bed a little bit early and just power through the evening. I often will work for like 2 to 3 hours after my kids go to bed. I typically don't do that if I haven't slept the night before, because my ability to actually get that done from like 7:30 to 10:30 is just not there, but it's okay if I've gotten the rest of the day actually done.
I was listening to Diary of CEO, and there was a sleep and productivity doctor specialist that was on the podcast. And she had mentioned that, to your point, although melatonin can be a great supplement for some people, a great natural supplement for some people to improve your sleep, What she also mentioned is having a sleep schedule and reducing light and distraction. Those are actually far more powerful and much more accessible for most people to do, especially if you don't have children and if you have more of a balanced lifestyle and more predictability around your hours. But I like that point around, even if you only get a couple hours sleep, you won't squeeze in a nap because you want to stay on your sleep schedule.
Exactly. And a lot of the things we talked a little bit about social, a lot of social and like how to create sleep hygiene and like all of these wellness things, I find come from people who don't have kids or like aren't working the crazy job. And if you put the crazy job plus the kids together, you see all these things and you're like, when am I going to do this? How am I actually going to implement this in my life? And what I do is I try really small things and just add them on. I try something like put my phone down 30 minutes before bed and just see how that works. I don't try to do everything. I don't pile it all on at once. I just take little things and see how it fits into my life. Because when you're a mom of young kids and you're working, whatever you can do to take care of yourself is great. So just be happy with that. Congratulate yourself for that piece of self-care and say bye to the rest of the noise, because these people that are giving you the advice, they have different lives than you, and it's just not the same.
I saw that my friend was on silent mode for Instagram, and I was like, what is that? How did you get that up? And she's like, it's on the settings. I would highly recommend you can limit the amount of time that you spend on Instagram within the app. You can also set silent mode, so people will actually see when you're not going to message them back, which I think is really important for all my friends that send me memes around the clock. I'm getting memes up to like 3-4 o'clock in the morning from some of my friends that are like night owls, or even from people that live in other parts of the world where there's a time difference.
I love that. I didn't know that was a setting. I feel like that's such a good life hack that everybody should know about.
You've shared so much about your own personal journey with your health and wellness, but then also shared some really valuable tips and insights in terms of things that people can do right now, right away, without facing many barriers. Before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I'd love for everyone to check out all of our products, especially our new adaptogen drink mixes. If you're struggling with sleep, stress, or focus, they taste great. They work really quickly. So definitely go to our website, routine.co. And you can also check us out on social at routine_co. And if you want to learn more about me or get more health and wellness tips, tools, and products that I use, you can also check out my Instagram at Rachel Soap Sanders.
Yeah. And just for folks that are listening, routine is spelled with two O's. So with that, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap on our conversation with Rachel, the CEO and founder of Routine. Head to routine.co to try out their targeted supplements and at-home lab tests. They are game changers. This podcast is produced by Liz Guber and Victoria Christie and edited by Diego Domine. Until next time, keep blooming.